leader.
Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Parliament began another week mourning the loss of life in a natural disaster.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, I move that this House express its condolences to the people of Japan for the losses they have suffered as a result of the recent earthquake and tsunami.
Among party leaders speaking in support of Mr. Key's motion was the Māori Party's Tariana Turia.
Tēnā tātou katoa. The poet Henry Longfellow once said, "There's no grief like the grief that does not speak."
The Prime Minister said New Zealand had sent a search and rescue team to Japan, and his Internal Affairs Minister, Nathan Guy, said they were in the worst affected northeastern area.
The USAR team's work will involve identifying the sites most likely to offer potential for finding survivors, to undertake rescue operations, and to help moving survivors to places of safety.
Civil Defence Minister John Carter then brought the focus back home by announcing the fourth extension of the national emergency that began the day after the Christchurch quake.
I have considered the extension necessary to enable the Director of Civil Defence Emergency Management to continue exercising his powers and functions under the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act.
And the Prime Minister faced this question from opposition leader Phil Goff.
What advice has his government or Rugby World Cup 2011 given to the International Rugby Board about Christchurch's capacity to host the Cup Games?
Mr. Key said his ministers have been meeting with local IRB representatives.
I myself was at a meeting with them on Sunday evening. We're working our way through those issues, and again, when we have all of the facts and we're in a position to advise the IRB of what our thinking is, then I'm sure they'll be in a position to make a decision along with us.
Next day, though, with that decision set to be announced at 3 p.m, Mr. Goff found his questions for Mr. Key redirected to the Minister for the Rugby World Cup, Murray McCully, who, being in Christchurch to make the announcement, had handed them on to his cabinet colleague Stephen Joyce.
As the member may be aware, the IRB officials have flown overnight to arrive in Christchurch for the meeting that's occurring right now. So once again, I think we should wait until the meeting's been completed. There's a media briefing, I understand, afterwards, and therefore at that point the Rugby World Cup Minister will no doubt update discussions.
That's right.
Getting the same answer to all his questions, Mr. Goff complained to the Speaker.
The difficulty I have with the answers to those questions, Mr. Speaker, is that the Acting Minister wasn't able to answer any one of them.
Order. I say to the Honourable Member in all sincerity, it may just be he's about an hour early in asking his questions because there may be no answer to them yet.
But Mr. Goff's shadow leader of the House, Trevor Mallard, claimed the decision had already been made, although Mr. Key didn't want to be the bearer of bad news, seeking confirmation of that the next day when his questions were answered for the Prime Minister by Murray McCully.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister was not aware that any decision was made as asserted by that member.
While Trevor Mallard probed the Prime Minister's role in the decision to abandon Christchurch as a venue for the Rugby World Cup matches, Labour's Marion Street suggested that resources employed for Mr. Key's tours of the city's damaged CBD might be better deployed in providing access to residents and business owners. Her question on Thursday prompting this response from Civil Defence Minister John Carter.
Mr. Speaker, it's such a silly question, I'm not sure how to answer it.
Outside of question times in the Wednesday general debate, the rest of the week in the debating chamber was spent with the House sitting as a committee of the whole for a part-by-part debate on National's replacement for Labour's Foreshore and Seabed Act. Over the 3 days, just on 15 hours, were spent on the Marine and Coastal Area Takutai Moana Bill's committee stage, with nearly three of those hours taken up by voting on amendments to Part 3, most of them from the ACT Party's Hilary Calvert, who caused an uproar on Tuesday night with this observation.
Historical use of the seabed any significant distance from the shore seems impossible to prove, and allowing for title over it to be granted to iwi allows for unjust and potentially divisive future claims. No one historically crawled about on the seabed miles from shore. There was just no chance of anybody holding their breath from 1840 till now on the seabed. That's not going to happen.
Hilary Calvert's hundreds of amendments kept the House voting until past midnight on Wednesday, and fears that another voting filibuster would keep members in the chamber on Thursday evening drew this request from her deputy leader, John Boscawen.
If the House is sitting beyond 6 o'clock this evening voting on this Part 4,
Can we have an assurance that there'll be catering facilities available for the staff and members?
But as it happened, debate on the bill ended at 5 to 6 before voting could start, and completion of the committee stage and third reading will now occur next week. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.